Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to The Next Step with Father Vosken. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vosken provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. No, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast on epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
I don't know. I think the people are going to think we're lost somewhere. Hey, this is Father Vosken, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to the next step. Episode number 230 of The Next Step. This is a podcast that, well, looks at the very fabric of our being through the lenses of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up for today. We call that polished look Armadoxy, and we're inviting you to take a look with us. Take a walk with us, take a step with us, because you'll need to take the next step if you're going to get to the end. This podcast is being brought to you by the good folks at epostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. Hey, if you're ready, let's take the next step. So glad you're joining us today. Whether you're running, walking, crawling, I'm glad you're taking a next step with us. Yeah, it is kind of dramatic, isn't it? When you're listening over, you've got to listen to it with headphones on to get the drama of that run, that runner running at the end of the next step jingle, right? He goes from one ear to the next ear. But there's so many different ways people listen to the next step. So I don't know if everybody gets the full impact, but you've got to, if you haven't done this, put some headphones on, listen to the next step. You'll hear that runner going from one ear to the next ear, and that's what it's all about. It's about taking those steps and getting someplace, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. You know, last week as we finished our show, I was telling you we're heading out for a domestic violence awareness walk, and we were kicking off a program called Datev Outreach, which I want to share with you in a few minutes. But at the end of the evening, somebody came up to me, very, very sincere, and somebody who had gone through some domestic violence issues. And she said to me, she said, you know, there's a lot to do. You've really bitten off a lot. Can you do it? Do you think that we can do it? And, you know, it's all about that step. It's about taking that step. What is that? There's a saying like that, taking 1,000 steps. Let me see if we can dig it up. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. It's attributed to Confucius. Well, they could attribute it to anybody, but I'm glad Confucius said it so long ago. That means people were awake back then too, right? But it's so true. You know, wherever you're going to go, even if you're going to go across the room, you have to take that first step. And okay, if you've got 1,000 miles to trek, okay, you still got to take that first step. And so we did in many, in a very big way, but in many senses, we took that big step last week as we kicked off the Datev Outreach. I'm going to tell you about that coming up in a few minutes. But more importantly, I want to tell you about what we're doing with Next Step, what we're doing, why we're taking these next steps, because so many important things have been crossing our table this past few weeks, especially with developments I shared with you over the last few weeks about a clergyman who's been defrocked. And whenever these things come up, there's opportunities for us to look at the big picture of getting the church back on track. Now, think about what we've been saying here on The Next Step. We've been talking about armodoxy, and we've been trying to develop this idea of what armodoxy is. It's basically the faith of the Armenian Church, Armenian Orthodoxy, minus all of the hoopla, minus all of the trappings that sort of get your mind away from what's important. I shared with you one story last week about an elderly man in our parish who said something very, very important. He says, titles are what they give people to get their minds off of God, or men give to one another to get their minds off of God. And it's so true. When you look at all the titles that we have and all the different distinctions that we honor people with, what does it do? It makes it human-centeredness rather than God-centeredness. And you can substitute any word you want for that God. You can say God-centeredness, love-centeredness, or let's say the community or world or universe-centeredness. In other words, to get it off of you. But when you give titles, when you pat each other on the back, when you applaud each other, what are you doing? You're bringing it back to individuals, and you're going to be in for trouble. Right? Because you're missing the mark. You're off of perfection. This is the problem. This is one of the biggest problems that we have. We go back to an egocentric life, and we think that the ego is worth everything. You know, you damage everything else to keep that ego going. And then you forget about the community, what's going on all around. Now, we have some big issues coming up. I'm going to share with you today. We've got a lot on our plate today, so we're going to get through it. Let me start off with the domestic violence issue, and then we'll make our way. But do bear with me today, because we're going to be going through a lot. We've got the Epostle, the new Yeti microphone over here we're talking into, and I hope the quality's coming out. We got Susie sitting across the table from us, producing today's show, and we're getting ready to put it all together. You know, have you been following Sunsash? You know, ever since my anniversary party, we kicked off this new program. And today, what is today? November 1st. Wow. The second month of Sunsashes have come out. And today's Sunsash, let me see if I could dig it up. Okay, it says, cheers. There is one thing one has to have, either a soul that is cheerful by nature or a soul made cheerful by work, love, art, and knowledge. That, of all people, was said by Friedrich Nietzsche. You can get all the little connections we've got over here. We're talking about ego. We're talking, well, there's so many things. But this is interesting, right? Cheer. Soul, it's either in your soul by nature, or it is made cheerful. Your soul is made cheerful by work, love, art, and knowledge. And by the way, these are called Sunsashes. This is a small little inspiration that we offer daily inspiration. If you haven't subscribed to this, you could just drop us a line at feedback@epostle.net, or you could just go on the website. It's sunsash.blogspot.com, and just put in your email address and you'll get one a day. And that's about what you need, you know, to kind of like let it float around in your mind and, you know, fasten up all of the loose ends that are out there. So anyway, today's Sunsash, okay, it's about cheer, and, you know, Susie can't leave things alone. She has to kind of instigate some problems. She comes back to me and she says, what do you do when you have a soul that's cheerful by nature and made cheerful by work, love, art, and knowledge? This is the little pushing. What's it in Armenian? Hermushtagel. You know, you're kind of like pushing it, you know, pushing us a little bit around. Well, that's Susie by nature. No. You're not a Hermushtagel, but you are by nature. I think you're a cheerful person. And I think, yes, that is a very good point. There are people that are cheerful on both sides, by nature and by the things that they do. But I think one of the things that Nietzsche is really kind of pointing to is to make your life, the work, the love, the art, and the knowledge, really something that you aspire to, and make them important parts of your life. I think about it, really what we're doing in Armodoxy, what we're calling Armodoxy, this faith that we have. If you look at it, really, it is the faith of the Armenian Church. It's the work, the love, the art, and the knowledge that has been given to us through this vehicle, the Armenian Church. How about we do this? You know, I was going to talk about Dativ Outreach at the beginning. I'm going to save that, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But let's talk a little bit about what's going on, okay, with this cheerful, with Armadoxy, okay? So let's kick it off with a song of the day to put us into good cheer, and then I'll come back with that, and then we'll conclude with some comments about the Dativ Outreach, very, very important program that you're not going to want to miss hearing about. Coming up just a few minutes from now. All right, here is today's song of the day. Enjoy!
Աշխարհում աղբյուրներ կան ու ջերեր կան շատ, բայց ուրիշ է իմ Երևան ջուրդ քաղցրահան, նա ծերունուն կյանք է տալիս մանուն ծիծաղ, ուրն է մեղում Սիրահարի կնշանքով իր պապ, շաղ է տալիս աղիկներին դառնում շատրվան, չէ ուրիշ է շատ անուշ է ջուրդ Երևան. Երկո դարն է ջուրդ խմում ժպտում է ուրան, նա ասում է ջուր չեմ տեսել այս կան ջինջուպան, իսկ երբ անդուղ թայն է խմում ասում է օխայ, այս դուջերին է կարոտում հեղվում ամեն այն, շաղ է տարի սաղիքներին դարում շատրպան, չէ ուրիշ է շատ անուշ է ջուրդ Երևան. Hey, Jana, voice is your Sierra Vanijo. Come, Chamran, Tak, Arevne, Amen, or Haito. See the Harvats of Chicknadina, Manage a pool. Yer Chamu Chanti, Azan is dark. Zula, let's do, Paita, let's do, in Kakiru.
Well, he crosses all kinds of moods. That is Hovhannes Badalyan, of course. Famous, famous, iconic voice. Hovhannes Badalyan singing Yerevani Jur, the water of Yerevan, the capital of Armenia. But I said it's a cheerful song. Oh, I like it. Anything that he sings, I like. And he sings all kinds of stuff. Anyway, we will put a little link on our show notes so you'll be able to check out his song, as well as check out all the songs that we play. Because, you know, I take some time and really craft it to the moment. So we were talking about cheer today. We were talking about the Sun Sash. If you haven't received it, do get on our website and ask for it. It's very easy to do. You just say feedback@epostle.net. Tell us what you think of the show. But you don't even have to do that. Just say, I want the Sun Sash. And today was about cheer, and we were talking about the work, the love, the art, and the knowledge that Nietzsche talks about. And we talk about those all coming together in Armadoxy. So let me back up a little bit, okay? When we say the word Armadoxy, what comes to your mind? Well, it definitely is. It's the contraction of Armenian Orthodoxy. That's not a surprise to anybody. But what may be a surprise is that we're not trying to create something new. And I think we do have perfection here. When you talk about the body of Christ, you have to be talking about perfection. Okay, now what is the imperfection in there? Well, the imperfection will be that the body of Christ is interacting with imperfect beings. Okay, so when you've got people coming in there, well, you're going to get messed up. So how about if we were able to extract the perfection if we were able to extract, well, obviously, you're begging the question right there. You're saying, well, who's doing the extraction? It is imperfect people that are doing the extraction. And you can get into these philosophical debates about what is perfect, what is imperfect. Christ, the perfection of the Holy Church, Armenian Orthodoxy. But let's put all that to one side for one moment, okay? And let's really think about, are there some basic truths that are given to us by Christ that have been latched on to by the Church? And these truths being the ones that, well, that fulfill us as human beings and help us reach the divine. And those truths are very basic truths. Okay, you don't need too much interpretation on those. Love. Yeah, it works. Forgiveness. How many times? 7 times 77. Forgiveness. It works, doesn't it? There's difficulties, but it works. Resurrection, the power of good over evil. Is it demonstrated? Well, in life, you see that evil usually wins out. But in the bigger picture, stand back a little bit and you see that, well, good is more powerful. It can overcome the negativity. So we talk about the faith. And here's the important thing, that this faith is not just something intangible, but it has been tried. It has been tried in a group of people that has experienced Armadoxy. Okay? So we have this faith, and this is very, very important. For the record, let it be out there, okay, that we're not trying to create something new. It's actually taking what we have and really exploring it. Celebrating it. See, Armenian Orthodoxy has not been celebrated. It gets pushed in with all of the imperfections of humanity and the organization and the structure. And so people say, well, are you bringing about change? Are you trying to bring about change? Absolutely. But the change is not from without, but it's from within. And I firmly believe this. You want to change things, you have to change it from within. Because without, when you change it from outside, what are you doing? Well, this is what the world does. This is what wars are all about, right? We don't like the way you look. We don't like the way you govern. So we're going to come in there from outside and change it. And it becomes a we, you, them issue. No. This is our church. This is our body. It is the sacred body of Jesus Christ. With Christ as the head, and St. Paul says, you are the body of Christ, doing the work. So what work do? You do what the head tells you to do, and that is to love, to help, to have compassion. So for the record, it's very clear. We're trying to bring about change within the church from inside. We're not interested in doing it from outside. We're not interested in wars. Now, second, you talk about Armenian Orthodoxy, Armadoxy. Can we really find the basics? And you say, well, why don't we look at the church, inside the church? Well, the church has some structural issues, has some administrative issues. And as a consequence of those administrative issues, what has been lost? The kingdom. What has been lost are the ideals. Here, let me give you a real simple one, okay? A couple days ago, there appeared an article about the Armenia Fund. Every November, the Armenia Fund collects money for Armenia and Artsakh for a specific project in Armenia. Beautiful idea, okay? And you've got representatives from all different parts of the community getting together, and there's a banquet, and the MC for the banquet is Mark Garagos, spokesman for the Armenia Fund. Mark Garagos, arguably at one point, he was perhaps the most famous Armenian in America when he was defending people like Michael Jackson. People knew he was an Armenian and he was defending. And so he's talking, and in his speech, he says, it doesn't matter if you're diocese or your prelacy, you're here for one purpose. And, you know, those are buzzwords. those are things that people like to applaud, you know? It's like, yeah, it doesn't matter who we are. We're all one. We are the world. We are the children. And here we go. Let's hold hands and let's make things work. Absolutely. Beautiful, right? Makes sense. It makes sense if you're taking the church, diocese, prelacy, if you're taking it strictly as an institution void of its spiritual mission. But if you take it as the Church of God, if you're taking it as the body of Christ, then yes, it does matter. It does matter. The body of Christ is consumed with doing the work of Christ. It does matter. Is this church based on the vision of Christ's descent, Ich Miazin, or is it based on a political whim of a group of people? Aspirations of a group of people. Hijacking the sacred for the sake of the secular. Then it does matter. Then you need to protest it. You need to stand up and say, no, this is wrong. And so we see over and over these issues come up. We saw it just a few weeks ago. Within a small group here in the Los Angeles area, what is known as the prelacy, that's just a convenient, let's say, politically correct way of referring to the division in the church, rather than saying there's a split in the administration of the church. There's Ich Miazin and there is the Ciliciancy. Well, now we talk about prelacy and diocese. You see, in Armenian, it doesn't translate. In Armenian, it's called Arachnortutyun. It's called the leadership. It's called the diocese, prelacies are a convenient way. Fortunately, in the English language, there's these two words exist. And so they latch on to these words, okay? They say the diocese and the prelacy. Basically, the same, canonically, the same faith. Okay, you go look at the canons, what do they believe? Same canons, same canon law, same beliefs. But administratively, there's a split. And because of that split, you have people that are aspiring for different reasons. They're working for different things. They're using the church, the body, the sacred body of Christ in different ways. And it came to a head a couple weeks ago when a priest was defrocked. Now listen to this, okay? And it's not about Armenian community. You go to any religious community, there's one simple question that they keep asking over and over. How do we get the children to come to church? How do we get young people in the church? Well, yeah, you're right. Children are easy to get. You just drag them in. But young people who are forming opinions, how do you get them to come to church? That's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult if your church has no meaning. It's difficult if your church has no expression. If your church is irrelevant. Yeah, it's very, very difficult. Complicated, right? Well, this is a problem not only with Armenian church, but with all churches. Because churches are looking for self-preservation, maintaining the status quo. And you can't do this. Churches need to be out there with Jesus. The body of Christ, what does that mean? Rejecting the status quo. The status quo didn't give you anything. What you need to do is you need to be looking at the positive. You need to be saying that this is what it should be, where the body of Christ should be, to love, to have compassion, to help the poor, the sick, to take the mission statement that was given to us by Christ. I have come here to set at liberty those who are oppressed. The other day on Facebook, somebody was making a comment. They said that all religions are bad and all religions have done is cause wars. More people have died in the name of religion than any other reason. Okay, that's fine. Now, next time you have a heart attack, you can't go to St. Luke's Hospital because that hospital is based on a religion, okay? St. Luke. There's a church. There's a faith. There's a religion behind it, okay? So when you get a heart attack, make sure you go to county. Make sure you go to general. But don't go to Presbyterian Hospital. Don't go to United Methodist Hospital. See, what I'm saying is that there are also good things that have happened because of religion, because of faith. And sometimes it's easy for us to look at those negative things, but you need to be able to look at some of the positive. And Jesus directs us to do that. And so when we talk about the church, you can look at those negative things, but we have to latch on to the beauty of it. And that's what Armadoxy is about. Getting back to what Nietzsche said, okay? The work, the love, the art, and the knowledge, that is what gives us cheer. Now, several years ago, when I accepted the calling to be a priest in the church, it was because I did find that work, that love, that art, and that knowledge within the church. That was giving me the cheer. That was allowing me to fulfill my potential. And there is a passage that always hits me, and I keep it on my desk in front of me. If I could, I'd tattoo it on my eyelid so I'd look at it at night and never be discouraged. But it is about the pearl. Jesus likens the kingdom of heaven to a man in search of a pearl. And when he finds that pearl, he sells everything that he has and purchases that pearl. What is Jesus saying? When you find that happiness, when you find that kingdom of God, when you find that kingdom of God on earth, nothing else really matters. And that church is exactly that. Because within that church, you have the expression of love. You have that expression of humanity. This is where you define your family, your relationships as husband and wife, as parent and children. Your relationships as friends. It is in that circle of love, of reaching out to people and helping so that together you form your family. How? In an expression of that love. So your family does the work of God. And together that family becomes the nucleus for your community to do the work of God. And that community then becomes, of course, the building block on which the world is created to do the work of God, meaning love one another, help one another, support one another. Armenian Orthodoxy, Armadoxy, is exactly this. And so it was very interesting. This morning we got a letter, this group, protesting. Now they're writing a letter. Now I'm going to give you a little instruction on protest. And you've got to listen to this because I'm a big student of Martin Luther King Jr., who really was able to use protest efficiently, effectively. And you know, those of you who have listened to Next Step for a while know that we even do a weekend on Dr. King's teachings. In fact, let me throw that out right now. It's going to be in July. It's that third weekend in July. If you can get out to the Los Angeles area, we've reserved a beautiful spot up in the hills, San Bernardino Hills. It is called Big Bear. It's going to be at a very special campsite. It's our 10th annual Martin Luther King Jr. retreat. Okay, there's a little plug in the middle of what I'm talking about. But let me tell you something about protest. So a group of people, now they want to reinstate this priest who has been defrocked. So they write a letter. And in that letter, they outline the points. Now these letters are important because they're cathartic. They're important. I've done it too, okay? They're important, but put it in perspective. They help you out. They help you identify what's right, what's wrong. They help you identify what the problem is. And I always encourage people, write it down, you know, make a list. Because it's important for you to know what your battle is. But do you think the guy on the other side is going to be changed? They've written a letter to the Catholicos outlining what is wrong. You can't change other people. If you want to change them, you need to put your name on it. First of all, there's a long letter, and it's not even signed. It's signed by a group of faithful young people and believers. I don't know if that's mutually exclusive of one another. Is there a group of young people, and then there's a group of believers, or what? Sign your name to it if you believe it. Martin Luther King Jr. taught us that. Something you believe in, you put your name on it. Secondly, when you're going up against the establishment, you're not going to bring down the establishment. You're not going to change their minds unless you can talk about something that they understand. And the whole purpose of any organization is self-preservation. So show them that there is a danger. And the danger, my friends, is losing money. Unfortunately, people aren't willing to do this. And so they continue funding these things inadvertently on the sideline. Now, the reason I'm saying this here on Next Step, what we're trying to do in the next step, we're taking the next step, right? Doing something from within. Small steps, I'll tell you, yes, I'll be the first to admit it. They are very small steps, but at least we're moving forward. At least we're taking those steps. Somebody last week came up to me and said, how come the church isn't doing something? I mean, let me explain this a little bit more if you haven't been listening the last couple weeks. Basically, there's a priest who's very, very popular. He gets people coming to the church, and the church has been full of young people, too. He's attracted young people. And you've got a Catholicos and a Catholicosate because he's a monk. He's what's called a monastic. It's in the jurisdiction of the Catholicos. The Catholicos found him to be, well, quote-unquote, disobedient. It's really a technical word that they use. It's sort of the catch-all, you know, when they can't find you on ethical grounds or moral grounds. Okay, disobedient. Okay, you didn't listen to what I said. And they got him, and on that technicality, they defrocked him. And this should bother people. Here's a guy who's bringing people to church, and instead, he's answering the age-old question, you know, how do you get young people to church? Okay, here it is. Yes, those of you who know me, there's a personal side of this story too, because this was me several years ago when the authorities, the establishment, the institution tried to take away what I had. But I see that the priest, this good priest, is appealing to the same faith that I appealed to back then, and I'm sure many people have. It's the faith in Christ. It's believing that the good will overpower the evil. So when you're going to protest, you need to protest with the tools. First of all, by putting your name on it. You need to hit the people where it counts. And basically, when you're talking about institution, you're talking about their pockets, pocketbooks. And you need to, and this is my humble opinion, but I know it's working, because I know it's working through this program, through this Apostle Ministries, through In His Shoes. It's keep doing the right work and don't leave the base. You see, you are, and this is the cornerstone to Armadoxy. Okay, we're going to make the full circle right now. Ready with me? Armadoxy includes you. It includes me. And this is how we started off 5 years ago, 4 years ago, when we started off these programs and saying the next step. This is what was missing out of the equation. People would talk about the Armenian church, and they'd talk about hierarchy. They'd talk about the bishops. They'd talk about the Catholicos. They'd even talk about the saints. But the one person they wouldn't talk about is you. And you are important. And that's what we're teaching over here. That's why when you listen to our shows, we play different kinds of music. You'll find expressions of the human spirit on this show. It's not all about the ancient classics. It's not all about the saints, because you are part of the equation too. And I've shared this story with you many times. I'll never forget. I was a young kid. We were in a group, and we had gone out to Clear Creek, which is one of the local retreats. It's in the Angeles Forest, a local small little retreat center. We had gone with our school, and I remember the teacher standing. We were on the ridge, and we were just observing the beauty, nature's beauty, from one side of the ridge to the other side. And you see just miles and miles of just this majestic mountainscape, and you see the trees. You see the birds flying. And the teacher said, "I want everyone to be quiet and listen very carefully. Open your eyes to the wonders around you and listen very carefully." And I remember I could hear, you could hear birds out in the distance. They talk. In fact, I remember there was like a tree right next to us, and you could hear a small little woodpecker pecking at the wood, like a little knocking sound. It was so beautiful. You could hear the wind rustling the leaves. It's going right through the trees. And then all of a sudden, one of the classmates, because what were we, sixth grade, seventh grade, you know, there's always some obnoxious punk in the group. And he starts yelling, boo, you know, he starts making some obnoxious noise. And everybody starts laughing. And the teacher, of course, scolded him. Said, be quiet, you know, we're out here, be quiet. And I remember that. Perhaps it was years later when I referred to that and I thought that, you know what? Along with the trees, along with the birds, that boy's voice, obnoxious as it was also part of the landscape. And that which triggered the laughter and triggered the human emotions was also an important part of the equation. Sure, it was obnoxious. It was something that we didn't want to. It interrupted our view, but it definitely added to the entire landscape. And you need to remember this when we're talking about Armenian Orthodoxy. It's not all about the past. It's not all about history. It's not all about hierarchy. You and I are part of that equation. You go into that church and you light that candle. And now you've joined the Armenian Orthodox tradition. And even more profound than that is that when you've been baptized, consecrated with the Holy Muron, you are now part of this long chain. No one has the right to take that away from you. No one. And once we feel empowered that we too are members of the body of Christ, we too have a part in that, then to protest, well, you've got to wonder, why? If I'm going to protest against anyone, I need to protest my silence. Back in the late 1980s, early 1990s, there was a rebellion. There was freedom fighting out in Artsakh. Artsakh is a small little area that belongs to Armenia called Karabakh. And it's the mountainous region. And the Azeris had lined up and there was fighting on that front. And it was so obvious. I mean, the whole area belongs to Armenians. The people who live there are Armenians. And we had gone to a church meeting. And you know what? I'll make a point of putting a link in our show notes today to the documentation on this. It was covered in Window magazine, early 1990s. And we went to a meeting, and all the clergy were gathered, and they said, what should we do? What should we do? And the primate of Karabakh, His Eminence Archbishop Bartov, said, pray. And everybody said, okay, yeah, we will pray, but what is it that you want us to do? And he said the second time, he said, pray. And it was interesting, because clergymen, we didn't get it. This is what he wanted. But we're thinking in Costco mentality. How do we go to the store and pick up items? What is it that you need? Do you need weapons? Do you need ammunition? And he said it a third time. He says, all I need from you is for you to pray. And the meeting went on to talk about other things. And then they finally came up with some letters. A letter writing campaign, a letter of protest to the governments involved, to the United Nations. And one of the lowly priests from Artsakh, he was at that meeting. His name was Father Abraham. He got up and he says, you know, if you want to do nothing, write a letter of protest. Wow. If you want to do nothing, write a letter of protest. To which one of the bishops, his name was Bishop Hagop, I believe he was in France at the time, said, protest is the sign of the weak. Well, it is weak when it's ineffective protest. And there are ways to be effective. The most challenging and most rewarding protest that you can be is to become the person that you were meant to be. And to not give up, not lose the ship. Because when you jump off of the ship, you've lost the ship. It keeps going. And you're just out there. You know, Susie talks about the disenfranchised. That's one of the markets that we hit with these broadcasts, with the apostle, the disenfranchised. This is the vast majority of Armenians. Because people have propensity to the good. They want to believe in the good. They want to believe that the church is good. but they're just disenfranchised. Nobody cares about them. But you need to feel like you are part of it. And so this ministry is really going out to those people. It's going out to you. It's the reason why you're listening right now. There's nobody else talking about these things. The other day we did a podcast with Linda Compass, with Linda Zadoyan. Wow. At the end of it, I'm just sitting there thinking like, hey, why isn't anybody else talking about materialism? Why isn't anybody else in the church talking about the need for young people to activate themselves, to really find meaning and purpose in life beyond the materialistic ideals that are given to us by society? Well, we're doing it. We can talk and we can curse the darkness all we want, but the light is with us. And the light of Christ is the light that needs to shine. I mentioned Susie. Let her make her a little announcement right now. And I'll be back in just a couple minutes to tell you about some more things that we're doing. I hope you're with me right now. These are very emotional ideas that I share with you, but I think they're important. Here's Susie with how you can get involved.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazquez, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fifth year of broadcasting and heard on six continents. The next step is entering homes and communities proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution today. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We are on iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher Radio, as well as Facebook and Twitter. There's even an app for your smartphone. We look forward to your participation and words of encouragement. Write to us 24/7 at feedback@epostle.net. This is Susie wishing all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the next step with Father Vazquez.
Let you play a little bit longer, didn't I? Oh, Susie, thank you for the announcement. Did you see what I meant? Like, she's talking about cheer. It's about her work and the cheerfulness. I think it has to do with the person by nature too, you know? Very, very cheerful person. And hey, you know, that's part of the apostle crowd that we have. What we're trying to do over here, I've been outlining for you. It's like we are also part of the Holy Armenian Church. Being part of that is not just because I'm a priest, but because I'm a faithful believer, practitioner of what the Christian message is all about, as expounded by the Armenian Church. You know, you look at the history of that we have. You know, last night here in America, we celebrated Halloween. Think about that, okay? I'm a priest of the Armenian Church. I had kids come to my door, and guess what? I celebrated with them. Now you say, well, wait a minute. Holy moly, what's going on over here? Isn't Halloween a Western feast? Yeah, it is. Get with the program. Well, those of you know Hallow's Eve. It is Halloween. It is the night before All Saints Day. Today in the West is All Saints Day, November 1st. In our Armenian tradition, it is this Saturday. Now, I'm an amalgam in a sense. I'm a combination of West and East. I live in a Western world. I have to deal with Western ideas day in and day out. December 25th is coming up. It's Christmas here in the West. For me, we celebrate Christmas on January 6th. What do? Do I just draw the curtains on December 25th? Do I just dress in black and put a frown on my face? No, I make December 25th a part of my experience as well. And in fact, I teach people that January 6th, December 25th are opportunities for us to talk about the birth of Christ. Just as today, okay, it's not All Saints Day. It is not All Hallows Day. Yesterday was not All Hallows Eve. In fact, tomorrow in the Armenian Church is All Hallows Eve. That's right, because this Saturday is All Saints Day. Now, how do you put that all together? Well, very easily. You say that what is the point of all this? It's to get our attention on the saints, people who were able to rise to the occasion, rise from their humanity, and let's talk about saints. And so you know what I teach at my church? I've got kids, they come up, and the parents come up, and they say, what should we do on Halloween? You know, they're wearing all these disgusting masks. And I saw some really awful ones last night. I got to tell you, some of them were really frightening. In fact, one of them, I can't get the image out of my head. It was one that I just saw the eyes, like, twirling and everything. Oh, I'm spooking myself now, okay? But what do I tell my people? I said, okay, let's adapt. On Halloween, on All Hallows Eve, when we're going trick-or-treating, how about if we take advantage of the opportunity and let's dress our children as the saints of our church? What? Yeah. You mean our saints? You dress up as our saints? Well, be a little bit imaginative, okay? I don't have pictures of Saint Vartan, but we could figure that he was a warrior, right? So dress him up as Saint Vartan. How about Queen Ashren? Oh, that's a nice one. Instead of, like, in my time, it was Princess Leia. Today, it's maybe Lady Gaga, man. But how about a beautiful, beautiful Princess Queen Ashren? Saint Urt. There are so many saints you can do. How about Saint Nerses Schnorrali? How do you dress up as that? How about as a handsome priest? There are some handsome ones out there, right? How about dressing up as a priest and saying, I am Saint Nerses Schnorrali, and singing, and taking advantage of the opportunity and teaching our children? This is what Armadoxy is about. It's not excluding ourselves. And I see this over and over and over again, people getting out there and talking about, this is what we should do, and we are exclusion. We are not exclusionary. We are the Church of Christ. The body of Christ. You open up the Bible, you read about the chosen people. There are no people that are more chosen than the Armenian people, because if you read Genesis chapter 2, verse 10, where is the Garden of Eden? Oh, open up a map. There it is. Ah, it's in Armenia. After the flood, the land, the ark lands where? On Mount Ararat, Armenia. Twice, humanity begins in Armenia. Guess where the first light of Christ came? Armenia, the first nation to accept Christianity. And you talk about chosen people, there you go. Now, we are part of that Armenian church. I'm not giving it away. I'm not giving it away to anybody else. This is my church, and I belong in there. And my voice, as obnoxious as it may be to other people, just as that young boy on the ridge of the mountain, as obnoxious as it was to us, my voice is also a part of the setting, just as that boy's voice was part of the nature. Yeah, it wasn't pretty. The birds was much more pretty. The birds chirping, even the knocking, were much more delightful to the ear than his obnoxious sound. But that also was part of that experience. And you take the zen of the moment. This is where Armadoxy really goes wild. Because it's not about the West. It's not about the East. It's about the universe combining it all. And I go back to that one verse that St. Gregory the Illuminator throws at us. And he says, as for us, we will glorify that which was from the beginning of all time. So Armadoxy is talking about the Christ experience. Yes, 2,000 years ago, but not just there. From the beginning of all time. From the beginning of all eternity. From the point of creation. Big Bang, whatever you want to call. From that point to all eternity. And it's all about love. And it's all there for us. The formula, it's all spelled out. So there is a church here. And it is called the Armenian Orthodox Church. For us, there is a faith. It's Armadoxy. Subscribe to it. Understand it. That's what Susie's telling you. You want to get involved in this. There's a way to be a part of this. Make your donation out to us. Get on our website. Hit the donate button. Simple thing you can do is just forward the link to this show to your friends, to your family. Say, hey, you know, you don't need to feel disenfranchised. There's a priest out there he's talking about. The obnoxious voices on the ridge. And that's something that could carry us through. That's something that I could subscribe to. That's something that I belong to. Because I was ordained to belong to that. I've got the holy miron on me. I was put into a font, and I was born again from the holy womb of the church into a new life. And that life is a life of abundance. It's a life filled with love. It's a life of harmony. Or as Friedrich Nietzsche says, it is a life of cheer. How do we bring it all together? Armadoxy. We are towards the end of our show, and I do want to share with you some ideas about the dative outreach. Last week, if you remember, right after our show, I was out on a walk. We walked right through Glendale. We walked from Glendale out to Burbank, and this is an area that is largely populated by Armenian people. It was the place to be as a church group. There was about 80 of us that walked. We did a walk for domestic violence, which is, I have to tell you, at epidemic proportions. We have an estimate from one lady who works at the district attorney's office. She says they prosecute 2 to 3 cases, Armenian cases, daily. Do the math. Do the math, and you're at, you're about at 10 to 15 a week. Do the math and, you know, extrapolate, go out there. And you're at, 500 to 700, 800 cases a year. And that is epidemic. That's big time. And we can be like an ostrich, stick our head into the sand and pretend it doesn't exist. Or to continue on the animal metaphors, we can take the bull by the horns and say that, okay, we are the Church of Christ. Where would Jesus Christ be? Would he just say, let me go and say a few prayers in the church? Would he say that, let me just go and light a candle right now for you? Or would he say that, come to me, all who are troubled, who are burdened, who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest? Would he open his arms up and say, let me give you a hug? And so we start a new chapter within the Armenian Church. It's called the Dativ Outreach. Dativ means exactly that, to give wings, to give arms, to extend our arms, to embrace, to bring the love of Christ to victims of domestic violence and help them change from victim to victor in Christ. Yes, to experience resurrection. And we're doing this. This is our newest and latest project. It has the full blessing and approval of our diocesan primate, Archbishop Hovnan Derderian, who has actually given us space to work out of in the diocesan complex. And we will be setting up an office over there. Hopefully in January, we're going to be starting off with programs of empowerment, programs of learning, education for women, victims of domestic violence. And I've got to throw in this small little blurb also for men, because this is not about just women being the victims. But on the men front, most often we find within our community that men are the perpetrators of domestic violence. And we will be offering anger management classes as well. So a whole slew of events and activities that we hope to kick off in January. Do check it out. Dativ Outreach, that's D-A-T-E-V, outreach.org is our website name. And you can like us also on Facebook and follow all of the activities. You could donate. When you donate to In His Shoes, when you donate to these programs that we have, you know, you just have to earmark it and say, I want it to go to the Dativ Outreach, and we'll make sure that the donation goes over there. We're looking for grants. We're looking for large sums of money to be able to hire the staff that we're looking for. Most of all, we're looking for prayers. We're looking for partners who will say that, you know, this is a worthwhile program and I want to be a part of that. As far as you are from us, you know that you are united with us through the power of prayer. In Los Angeles, we have one of the largest concentration of Armenians outside of Armenia. I believe Moscow might probably be the first one. This is probably the second largest population. And along with that population come all kinds of social and cultural issues that need to be addressed. I'm so proud to belong to a church that is addressing this particular issue, and I need your prayers. I need your support on this. So keep us in your prayers. That is Dativ Outreach. We will put a link on our show notes. That brings us to the end of today's show. I hope you enjoyed being with us today. I kind of like talked a lot about personal stuff, about where we're heading with the direction. This is kind of like going back to the 101 step, but I'm realizing from the emails that I get from the different listeners that we have that every so often we need to go back down this route. And fortunately, there's enough events that happen. There's enough stuff that goes on that kind of drag us back to this point. But I think it's important that we talk about it. We are children of the Armenian Orthodox Church who are like that boy on the ridge, who may not be wanted, welcomed, but we are there and we are a part of it. Hey, listen, if you want to get more information about all the wonderful work that we do, do check us out at the mothership inhisshoes.org. And that's basically the philosophy. Do check us out today's podcast, as well as all that we've done from the beginning of time, including our videos, including Compass with Linda Zadoyan. You can find that at epostle.net. That's apostle with an E. Apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. And of course, the new one, Dativ Outreach. For the wonderful crew who put today's show together, I want to welcome you and thank you for joining us today. I want to welcome you back next week. For Susie, our producer, for Vahir, our webman, for Ani, who has just returned from honeymooning, this is Father Boskin, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.